You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you're here. We'd love to hear from you throughout the morning. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. A lot to talk about today. We're also going to give you the opportunity to win some more tickets to what? Well, you'll have to find out. Or I could just tell you it's John Mulaney at the State Fair. But we'll tell you how to do that in a little bit. Jamie's back. Are you feeling better?
I am. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys yesterday. It was a nice 18-hour nap that I took between Sunday and yesterday morning. So I feel refreshed and much better, ready to roll because, well, that's what you need to do in this current state of news. You have to be ready at all times, right?
Yes. I wish I was refreshed. We had thunderstorms here last night.
Oh.
And so both dogs were out of their minds. One is afraid of thunder and the other is afraid of lightning. And the news lied. They said the thunderstorms weren't going to come till this morning. So we did not give the lightning fearing dog her kind of it's mostly a tranquilizer.
Of course.
And knocks her out. And then the other one has just recently become afraid of thunder.
Oh.
And so that's, yeah, it was.
Oh, so
it was
long,
like having two babies who would not, yes. Who would not calm down throughout the night.
I am very fortunate that Aspen is not scared of most things. In fact, she is. She thinks she's bigger and braver than what she actually is. Thunder is not one of the things that she is scared of, or lightning, but I understand your pain. Way back in the day, we had a dog who was very afraid of all sounds. It didn't matter if it was like a rumbling in the garage. It didn't matter if it was a truck going by, thunder, lightning, the gamut. And so I understand all of that all too well. You're right. It is like a newborn baby. All night long. It is,
and I feel bad because I'm telling them it'll be all right, and they're looking at me like, no. Dude, it's not going to be all right. This is the end of the world. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
How are you not under the bed?
Aww.
It just, it was not a minor, it was big time thunder and lightning and
there were some good storms that rolled through last night. That's kind of what happens though when you have a day as warm, and let me be honest, it was a little humid yesterday too. Felt a little early for that type of warmth and humidity. I wasn't complaining when I did yesterday afternoon venture out and take Aspen for a bit of a walk because, well, she'd been a good girl curled up next to her mommy for a day or so. So I was like, let's venture out and get some sniffs in. I do have the best investigative grass reporter in the entire neighborhood, just in case anybody's wondering.
Everything's under control. She checked it all out. Everything's good.
She does. I have to tell you, though, yesterday I was walking, and it was really a very unsettling moment for me. I have this irrational fear of birds. Most birds, doesn't matter. Small birds, big birds, geese, it doesn't matter. Birds.
What has Big Bird ever done to you?
I love Big Bird.
Big Bird is scary. He's very large.
He is very large.
No, he's not scary.
Parker,
you're very Big Bird is not that much taller than you and I.
He's a lot taller than I.
I do like Big Bird, but one of the most unsettling things yesterday, we have this pond over in our neighborhood. A lot of geese, a lot of ducks. I've never actually seen a duck perched on a power line. I've never seen that. I'm 48 years old. I've never seen a duck perch on a power line. So as we're walking, of course, it's overhead. Aspen looks up. She's freaked out because there's this duck overhead, and she really just wants to try to catch it. And I'm like, why is this duck just perched on a power line? Maybe other people have seen it. Maybe it's not that bizarre of a concept. It was very, very strange to me.
How does it even sit on a power line with those feet?
I know. That's what I was trying to figure out yesterday. Of course, I don't stick around long enough to actually get that close to a bird. But at the same time...
So a duck counts as a bird to you?
Yeah. I don't like anything that flies.
Wait a minute. What do you mean a duck counts as a bird?
Like, my daughter is terrified of... my daughter's terrified of birds, too, for whatever reason. But she's limited to the pointy beak.
Oh, no, I don't...
Birds. Like a duck and a goose don't scare her. It's little birds.
I don't like anything that can come at me from nowhere. Like, that's my thing. A duck can come out of nowhere. A goose can come out of nowhere. And when we lived at our house, when we lived...
How stealthy... Listen, I know I might not live in the woods, but I see a lot of geese and stuff. I always know they're coming.
It's irrational.
They're very loud.
I told you, this is
not
an irrational
very stealthy.
Fear.
It's
an irrational
fear. It's not like they're
fear.
Ninjas. They just show up.
No,
were you ever attacked by a bird?
Yes, actually, I was.
So was I, and I still don't...
I used to be a runner way back in the day before I realized that I didn't really enjoy running. I was a runner, and growing up in South Dakota, we didn't have a lot of running trails, especially where I lived. It was a town of 150, very rural farming community, so you had to run on the highways. And so along the highways, there were always like those pondy, marshy areas, and those blackbirds with the orange and the yellow on them.
Yeah.
They don't like people very well, especially if they have baby birds in nests in the reeds in those marshy areas. And I was attacked on more than one occasion. That's when the irrational fear of birds started. And then when we lived in our house in between Reedsburg and Baraboo and the Dells, we lived on this little stock dam. And I called it Goose Poop Pond. There was a reason for that. It's where all the geese would roost all year because there were live springs. And so a couple times of year, all of a sudden I'd be sitting there in my house and I'd hear this incessant honking, and I'd look out and it was like an invasion of the geese because there'd be so many of them. They'd be moving closer and closer to the house. It's when I just locked myself in. Nope, not going out.
But that's where geese go. Geese, you were in their house.
I know. Nope. You stay away from me. Just you
everybody's
stay there.
Everybody's got their thing they're afraid of. I'm afraid of Parker's beard. It almost looks like you shaved. You didn't shave your beard, did you?
No,
trim
I didn't. I was just a little. I do need to shave. I do need to. I was saying, Brian, I'm not going to give you a warning. When it comes off, I'm not telling you.
Oh,
I'm just
going to
be clean.
One day, you're just going to come in.
I don't really need updates on your personal grooming, but I just, you know, it's not like I sit around all day going, I wonder if Parker did his nose hairs today because yesterday they were a tad out of control.
What else would you do with your time, though? If that's what you weren't sitting around,
with my time?
Yeah. What else would you do?
I'd be raging against everything else.
There you go.
I've got a lot of things that occupy my mind. All of them destructive and hurtful. But
by the way, Alicia chiming in over on our chat this morning on YouTube, she says geese scare the daylights out of her as well. That comes
really?
From her time as a FedEx driver in rural areas. Farm geese and Canadian geese are scary. Yeah, they're not nice. They do a lot of hissing when they have people in their terrain and they don't want you there. So I do know that because, well, obviously at some points, Aspen, even though the geese were there, would have to go outside. And they made it known that this was their area. And it was fine, and we were going to just do our thing and go back in. It was fine.
I will give it to geese. They do not put up with a lot of garbage. If they're around, that's their spot. They're going to walk where they want to walk. They're going to stand where they want to stand. I mean, we've all pulled into parking lots where the geese are congregating, and they're, you know. But I always just look at them with awe and go, man, I wish I had that kind of stubbornness.
Honestly,
and I'm pretty stubborn. But to stand and stare down a car as a goose.
Yes. Yes.
You got some huevos on you, goose man, because I don't know. They travel in packs. They're like a gang.
They are
a bird gang. Sharks and the jets and the geese.
I have a couple of friends who laugh at me because I am terrified of birds. They're like, really, honestly, because a goose kind of feels like your spirit animal. And I was like, oh, that's not a compliment.
I was going to say, I was trying to figure out how to comment on that. And I thought none of it is going to be good. So I'm going to let it go.
It's not a compliment at all, but that's okay. They're, you know, they're very close friends. They can say those things about me. It's fine.
Do you poop in a pond?
I do not. Not recently,
all right, well,
anyway, not to my memory.
One similarity down.
There we go. Did you do anything exciting yesterday in the very nice weather? Did you get a chance to get outside, enjoy it?
No,
in this fake
I was
spring?
Unfortunately, I was all day dealing with the stuff with my mom, and I did not get to get outside. I mean, I walked outside and I went,
sure.
Oh, this is really nice. And I spent about 5 minutes in the backyard with the dogs, and I thought, oh, this is not going to last, and it didn't.
No, no.
But no, unfortunately, I did not. I was lamenting the fact that I'm trying to decide when to take out the patio furniture, and this is the ongoing. And I'm sure everybody has this timeline in their head when they say, all right, it's too early to get everything set up on the deck because it's just going to get cold again.
Right.
Or it's going to snow. Or it's
yes.
So I waver toward mid to late April because Easter's very early this year.
It
sometimes
is very early.
Sometimes it's around Easter, but it's very early this year.
It is.
So, yes, that was my... As I enjoyed the weather, it also caused many conundrums, and as I'm vexed by so many things, I don't know what to tell you. But that was so. No, unfortunately, I didn't. And you were asleep for most of Sunday.
Well, in fact, most of Sunday and into a good portion of yesterday morning, and then I woke up and I did feel much better. So that was good. A little sleep will cures a lot of things. Mark from Prairie to Sac chiming in this morning on the text line saying, birds are just another dinosaur. Maybe that's it. That could be. That doesn't actually make me feel better, Mark, that there's little miniature dinosaurs running around the earth.
Probably makes you feel worse, actually.
Most of them are little.
They are.
I don't know. I mean, unless you got ravens coming at you.
I'm telling you, it's an irrational fear. A rational fear of birds. I totally understand that.
I hate snakes. So it's kind of the same thing. I have an irrational fear of snakes.
Yeah, I don't like things that can just creep out at me. Like, I don't think that, like, things that just creep out at me and just all of a sudden appear. Snakes are one of those. Although snakes are a whole different thing for me now because Aspie thinks that she's a snake tamer as well. So whenever she sees a snake, she wants to go for it and she wants to pick it up and she wants to chase it. Well, it turns out snakes don't really love that.
No, it turns out.
And so we have to have a conversation every time she sees one about how you can't chase the snakes because they kind of bite and they do, even if it's a garter snake, they still will strike at her. So we have to have these little periods of walking conversations where we're like, no. And yes, I am the crazy lady, by the way, in the neighborhood who's having a full conversation with my dog. It's fine. I know.
Not
my
really
plot
surprised.
Life.
Parker, I got to ask you this because you also live in the Madison area.
Yeah.
Are there that many wild beasts where you live? What neighborhood? I don't know what neighborhood Jamie is in, but there's snakes and birds and all sorts of creepy animals.
I have seen one snake in the wild in Madison. Ever.
Wow.
That is it.
And
I don't
came
know
out of
where...
the Capitol.
No, they've cabled out a long time ago. We're safe now.
That's true.
It's
they haven't gone a while. But no, I have no idea where you're finding all these snakes, Jamie.
We have a very open park across the street from us with a lot of fields around us in our little neighborhood over there. So we have a pond and we have a lot of things happening in our lot of wildlife over there. Which
I see the geese. I get the geese.
Makes
yeah,
me a
geese
little
are
uncomfortable.
Everywhere. Geese, like
yeah.
I said, geese don't care. They have no boundaries.
Makes me uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Alicia says that Memorial Day, by the way, Brian, is the weekend for her when she starts putting her patio furniture out. So that's a good one. That's a good one.
That seems like so long from now, though.
It does.
Wanted to go sit on the deck yesterday, and we didn't have the furniture out yet. I was kind of bummed about it.
Yeah. Conundrums.
We have one chair. We have Debbie's smoking chair. That's the only chair on the deck so far. Debbie's smoking chair.
Well, you know, you got to have something to look forward to.
I guess, but, you know, sooner or later it'll be out there, and then, you know, we'll go from there. When we come back, we will talk about some John Mulaney tickets. We're going to talk about a Canadian energy company giving us some trouble with a pipeline and a whole lot more. This is Daybreak. Jamie is back. I'm Brian Noonan.
I am Jamie Martinson. It's 6:19 right now. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
6:22 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you want to be part of the conversation, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. Glad you are with us. If you're not familiar with the company name Enbridge, it is a Canadian energy company, and they operate gas pipelines all across North America, including Line 5, which is a pipeline that runs through the Midwest. You may also recognize that name because Line 5 pipeline is rerouting in northern Wisconsin. So Enbridge is having some trouble because people are protesting the rerouting through northern Wisconsin, and the company is asking for local law enforcement. They're proposing that they will reimburse local law enforcement for costs tied to protests. So they want the police there. Their plan would cover expenses like the police patrols, crowd control, overtime, with funds managed through the Wisconsin Counties Association. This is all happening in Bayfield County. It's reconsidering updated agreements after earlier rejecting them because there were some concerns about maybe conflict of interest and transparency issues. So once again, the people speaking out and Big Oil not happy.
I just love that Big Oil is to the point where they're like, hey, we know you're going to protest, so let us help you cover some of the costs because we know you don't really want us here. We're going to come anyway, but, you know, hey, let us at least unburden you with the financial risks of all of this. So I guess
we're going to need the police here because somebody's going to do something.
Right.
And
yeah,
might as well just pay for it a little bit.
Now, supporters of this say that the deal actually helps protect taxpayers from covering extra policing costs tied to these protests. Of course, there's critics involved who say that it could influence policing and also raise constitutional concerns since officers would be reimbursed by the company being protested. Of course, then you get the legal experts, Brian, who weigh in, and they warn that this arrangement could discourage or suppress protests because it may create pressure on law enforcement to act in the company's interests. There's also concerns about this limited transparency where some communications are tied to the agreement and those could be kept confidential. It is important to understand, though, that there have been similar agreements that have been used before, including in Minnesota, where Enbridge paid millions in protest-related policing costs. Bayfield County is also right now considering purchasing protective gear for officers ahead of potential protests and deciding how they're going to pay for it. Well, I don't know. Maybe you let Enbridge, you know, do the policing costs and then you go ahead and get your protective gear so that the police officers can do their job. But I do think this is an interesting phenomenon that the pipeline company actually wants to pay for the protests.
I mean, it makes sense. The only issue becomes at that point, if the police department sends people over there, you know, the cops still work for the city. If they are hired to moonlight for the company, then they are employees of the company and they're going to act in the company's best interest because that's who's signing their checks. So you gotta be beholden to the master. And if the master is the oil company that's paying you to work this overtime, which I don't begrudge anybody trying to get a little extra coin, it will be, I think, a little more difficult to separate. Who are you policing now, or who in whose authority are you doing this? Is it them or is it the city?
I think there's going to be and for the community, it's probably going to be a perception matter too, right? Because it's going to really be whether or not people see it as the police doing their jobs or being bought by this company as because there's a lot of people who obviously don't want these pipelines going through. And there are going to be protests. We know that people are going to show up. But I think there's also concerns about transparency at this point too, because some of these agreements could keep certain details out of the public view. And in a situation like that, where the emotions are going to be running really high and trust is everything, that's not a small issue for a county the size of Bayfield, right? And, you know, if you want to zoom out just a little bit, this isn't just about one pipeline. It's not just about one county. If this model becomes more common, where companies are essentially funding law enforcement tied to their own projects, you could see this used anywhere where these pipelines go in, not just Wisconsin, but across the entire Midwest. So I think it'll be interesting to keep an eye on to see how this plays out and how the Bayfield County actually goes about this Enbridge proposal right now.
Well, it's all going to come down to who is Bayfield County accountable to? Is Bayfield County accountable to Enbridge, or are they accountable to their citizens? And that's going to be a fine line to watch. And once again, I do not have the utmost faith in anybody once money comes in.
No.
And it's true. Money is going to come in and corrupt things. And there will be some officers who, when they are acting in a security role, are going to act differently than if they are acting in a municipal role.
Right.
And will there... Will the same rules apply? Will there be body cams if you're working for the company rather than if you're working for the city and the county?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Mark jumping in from Prairie du Sac, I'd feel better if company executives were made personally responsible for any environmental damages like spills, fines, and public flogging. Wow, that, you're going medieval. Those rerouted pipelines are putting wild rice beds as well as lakes and streams at risk. But one good thing for Jamie, they're driving out some of the birds.
They are.
So
they are.
We got to make that. That's always key.
It
when
is
when you're trying to figure stuff out.
I think this is going to be a big question, though, about who's going to be paying for policing, especially in democratic areas or democracy-ridden areas, right? Because we're going to have that conversation as the pipeline continues, probably more than once would be my guess in some of these counties. Go ahead.
When we come back after the news, construction is completed in Milwaukee on a new ICE facility, and there's a lot of bad news coming out of those ICE facilities. So we will get into that because why not? That's uplifting news on a Tuesday.
We try really hard to find the positive stuff. You know, I got to tell you, some days it's easier than others. I'll be honest. It is 6:29 right now. This is Daybreak. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. This
to Lake Michigan. This is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. We hope you are having a great start to your Tuesday. If you're listening in Madison on WMDX or Appleton and Oshkosh on WISS or Wausau on WXCO, we do appreciate you being here. If you're one of the people watching on the live stream, we also appreciate you watching and being part of the conversation today. And if you want to text in or make a phone call, comment on anything we're saying, 1-855-752-4844. That's 1-855-75-CIVIC. And of course, we have our new social media feeds that we would love for you to go check out as well. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. You can give us a like over on Facebook and Instagram and keep up to date with all of the things that we're doing. I see Brian is working on his setup.
I'm going to be in the dark.
All
Everything
right.
else is fine.
I was vamping to give you a little bit of time there.
No. I was just waiting for you to finish all the plugs. No, so if it looks a little dark, that's all. Something going on with the plug that has all the lights in it. But anyway, you don't need to see me. This is radio.
You look good to me, Brian.
You look fantastic.
Just listen. Thank you, Parker.
Yeah. The shine on your head looks great.
I didn't get into this before to be on camera anyway. I got into this to be in radio. But that's a whole other story. Part of Saturday's No Kings protest had to do with ICE. You know that, and the ICE policies and the murder of American citizens and all of that, and the, some would say, unlawful detention of undocumented and some citizens here in the United States. But now, more bad news coming from ICE. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has reported 14 people have died in custody so far in 2026, and if you're keeping track, we're only 3 months into 2026, the deaths come as ICE is holding more than 68,000 immigrants at one time. It's among the highest detention levels ever recorded, and still, for some in the administration, not high enough. The number of deaths has been rising, 33 deaths reported last year, compared to 11 in 2024. The increase in detentions is tied to expanded immigration enforcement efforts under the current administration, including the nonstop push for mass deportations. And before you come at us with, well, Biden and Obama deported a lot more people. Yes, we know. Numbers-wise, they did. Humanely, we'll add that caveat. So if until you can bring that part of the defense to your argument, you may want to rethink that argument, but I doubt it. So facility overcrowding goes along with more detentions, health concerns, tuberculosis has been jumping off, measles have been jumping off at rates not seen outside of those facilities. So it is not a good time to be suspected even of being undocumented.
No, absolutely not. And one of the biggest detention sites in Texas, it's known as Camp East Montana. They've already had multiple deaths in just a very short period of time because, as you rightfully pointed out, we're only like 3.5 months into to a brand new year. The federal government has even had to change contractors at some facilities because of some of these ongoing issues and concerns. You know, and I think if you're sitting here listening to us this morning and you're like, this is happening everywhere else, you just mentioned Texas, not so fast. We haven't had any deaths here in the state of Wisconsin, but Dodge County is a major holding facility for undocumented immigrants. And they just put the new processing facility in play in Milwaukee.
Yep.
And
just opened up.
Yeah, it sure did. And it's over on the northwest side of the city, and it's not yet moved from its downtown location. But this new site is expected to handle the processing, the check-ins, and the administrative work. They're not going to be, at this point, holding anybody overnight. This is not a detention facility. But in Wisconsin, ICE detainees are typically held in county jails with federal contracts, especially, as I just mentioned, that Dodge County Jail. And sometimes there's other local facilities for short-term holds. There's several counties who actually have arrangements with ICE to hold undocumented immigrants overnight and in their facilities for an extended period of time. And those agreements actually allow ICE to temporarily hold people through proceedings. And I mean, and I think you rightfully pointed out, Obama and Biden did deport more people, but they still adhered to the constitutionality of it all, mm-hmm. right? They made sure that these people were treated like human beings and were still given the same due process and given the same rights as anybody else, because that is what the Constitution of the United States says should happen.
Well, Jamie, if they didn't want that to happen, they shouldn't have come here illegally. That's what you get.
Yeah.
We're just gonna pull you apart from your family. We're gonna put you in, and oh, you're a citizen. Well, that's part of the day. You're brown, ain't you? That's what that's what happens when you're brown. We think you might not be a citizen, and we're gonna put you in this cell. We're not gonna give you access to an attorney. We're not gonna let your families know where you are. We're going to, and then when it's found out that we did all that, we're going to just deny it and drop you off at a gas station somewhere.
And that's literally what's happening. We're not talking fallacy here. That's literally what's happening. There is a case of a woman in Chicago who flew back to the United States, U.S. citizen. She was picked up by ICE at airports. She was taken to Dodge County because her phone pinged her as being in there as her family and lawyers tried to track her. Eventually, she was released, and they were told to pick her up at some random gas station in the middle of Dodge County, Wisconsin. She had no idea where she was
at. Never there.
Well, that's what we're being told. It's sure weird, though, how the technology keeps up with things. I mean, the agents
have
no...
Who are you going to believe, Jamie?
I'm going to believe the technology. At this point, I'm going to believe the technology and not the masked agents who come into the cities telling me not to believe things that I'm actually seeing with my own eyes. Just, I don't know.
If that's how you want to be, I mean... I guess you can make that choice. That's a choice.
I've seen a few things that would tell me I should believe my own eyes, not what the government's trying to tell me. I do think this is interesting, though, because there's a recent case with a man from Mexico who was found unresponsive in his cell after he was held for about a month. He had known health conditions and had been receiving treatment, and his cause of death has not been made public yet. This has obviously raised some additional questions about conditions and medical care in some of these facilities. And now we're at a point where the Mexican government has responded. They say that they plan to take stronger action and protest these deaths, especially in cases where it's involving Mexican citizens. So now the actions that we're taking here in the United States to protect the country from undocumented immigrants is essentially ruffling the feathers of other countries. Can we really afford to keep ruffling the feathers of other countries?
Why? What do we need other countries for? They don't help us. They don't contribute the money. They take advantage of us. We don't need allies. We don't need other countries. We can do everything on our own. And that is not me talking. In case you're like, what station is this guy supposed to be on? No, obviously, this seems to be the mindset of the administration in an isolationist move, which is not really paying off at this point in the Middle East and will not pay off anywhere else.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and I think that's the hard part about all of this is as we watch what's playing out here in the United States and as we watch what's happening abroad, it's part of that isolationism that this president campaigned on and so many people didn't take seriously. And I think that's also troubling is that there's so many people who want to say he says things that he doesn't mean. He just likes, I like the way he talks. Well, he told you that he was going to do all of this when he was campaigning back in 2024. He told us what the plan for immigration was. I mean, if you didn't believe how he was going to treat people, all we have to do is go back to eating the dogs and the cats to tell you how they were essentially going to treat.
Well, I forgot about that. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
But we only have to go back to look at that to know how this was going to play out and what the plans of this administration were. If you're watching what's happening with Iran, and we're going to talk about that here in a little while this morning, but if you're watching that and you're like, oh, well, how can we be not having any conversation with our allies? He told you he didn't want those conversations.
Right.
All of this was told to us in 2024. And so I find it
little...
It
has all been foretold.
I find it frustrating that people are so shocked now by all of
They're not shocked. They're running for cover because they see what a colossal nightmare this has all become. And now you don't want to be associated with the nightmare, even though you helped usher in the nightmare. And I get that. I get when something that you believe for whatever reason turns wildly bad and now you see you're seeing the effects hit you when you never thought they were going to hit you. Everything was for somebody else, the person who was to blame, the scapegoats. Everything bad is going to happen to them because they were the cause of all your problems and all the country's problems. So now that you see the result of some of these policies being enacted, it panics you a little because this wasn't supposed to happen to me. This was supposed to happen to them. And now I'm paying over $4 a gallon for gas and my groceries are expensive and I can't get a loan for a house or a car. This isn't what I want. This is not what I wanted. So I can believe to a certain extent when people say, this is not what I voted for, or sure, I didn't expect this to happen, or, oh, that's, but the time of, oh, that's Trump being Trump, is long past. That was passed in the first administration. And if you're still using that as he doesn't say what he means, I don't want my president to be the guy at the end of the bar just shouting out incoherent craziness. I want some thought put into what my leaders say, and that's not happening.
I think when we look at what's happening with these ICE detention centers too, right? There's a couple of things that stick out for me. Our local jails were never designed to be long-term immigration detention centers. And
that's why we got to buy warehouses, Jamie.
This is true. They're being used that way more and more. And so many counties are taking the funding from DHS to make these facilities usable in that way. But as the numbers go up, the pressure on those facilities and the people inside them is going to go up. And at the same time, what I think is most frightening is that even in the midst of all of this DHS funding conundrum that's happening in Washington, D.C., well, not now because now they're off for spring break. But while we're watching this play out, let's remind everybody that ICE is not lacking in funding at all. Because of the big, beautiful bill, they have billions of dollars to continue doing exactly what they're doing. And what this bill would essentially do is give them more money. And then, of course, make sure that all of the other pieces under the DHS umbrella are funded as well. But it would allow them to hire more agents. They'd be able to build even more infrastructure, which means more people moving through what this system actually is. And that includes right here in the state of Wisconsin. So, I mean, if you aren't happy with that, I mean, you have to realize that this isn't just in California. This isn't just in Texas. We're watching it play out in almost every state, including here at home.
And I often wonder, and I know different generations thought differently, and you can't judge, you know, today's standards by years ago. But what's so bad about living in an area that has a diverse cultural background?
This is what I don't understand.
These Christian nationalists who want a white Christian country, it's boring.
It is boring.
To live in a homogenized society is really boring, really narrow-minded. Doing one more disservice to your kids because you are protecting them from any sort of ideas or cultures outside of your own. And it's not really even your own. It's one that you've concocted with the corrupt white nationalist leaders. Hey!
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Now back to more of Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
It's 6:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We hope your Tuesday is off to a great start. Hey, Brian, it turns out that we don't quit giving things away around here because we have some John Mulaney tickets.
I know. This is we're way too generous. I'm going to say it right now.
We have to back that off.
Right. We gave away baseball
tickets. Yeah, why can't
tickets.
I have these tickets?
We had the multi-state text to win contest, which we'll be announcing the grand prize winner pretty soon. And now we're giving away John Mulaney tickets just because he's coming to the state fair.
Yes.
And we want people to go and not have to buy tickets.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's exciting stuff.
I don't know, friends. We are way too nice.
John Mulaney is going to be at the Bank 5-9 main stage, a headliner at the state fair. Tickets are currently on sale, but if you would like to win a pair of tickets, you can do that. All you have to do is head over to WRJN.com, and you can sign up, and you can get yourself a pair of tickets. And remember, you can check out more details about the show by going over to WIStateFair.com, because if you don't win tickets, you can certainly buy them over there. But in the meantime, take your shot, sign up over at WRJN.com for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see John Mulaney. Should be a great show. I mean, SNL.
It should be a great show.
And, yeah.
He's John Mulaney, very funny. And so this is new tour and Mr. Whatever. That's actually the name of it. That's not me trying to scramble to get the name. But it'll be fun. So, yeah, WRJN.com. And it's right there on the homepage. You'll see it.
Yes,
boom.
Absolutely.
You're going to see John Mulaney.
I love
That'll
it.
It'll be great.
Easy peasy.
Not bad. All right. This is it's a sad time of year for many reasons. One is that, you know, we're still under a wannabe dictator's regime. But that's neither here nor there. Cookie season is ending in mid-April. Girl Scout cookie season. Not cookie season forever, but just the Girl Scouts. And there have been reports from troop leaders that sales have dropped because, you know, let's be honest, people's money is tight. Mm-hmm. And Girl Scout cookies, the prices have gone up. They're still delicious. The money still goes to a great cause. But that's discretionary income, and some people haven't seen that. And you might be wondering, well, then, Brian, what happens to all those unsold cookies? They must deeply discount them, like the day after Easter for the candy.
And of course, they go into my pantry.
Oh no,
that's what happens.
No. Really? Oh, not. See, I want some sort of discount. I want everything must go to sale.
I didn't say I was buying them at cost. Like, I want them cheap, but they call me, then I can stock my pantry. I love a good Girl Scout cookie. Anyway, well,
who doesn't? So there you go. The troops are trying to get rid of their extra cookies. They may offload them to other troops who live in areas where the cookies are selling a little faster. They could continue selling them after the season, so you get some bootleg cookies. That's what I want. I want a Girl Scout in an alley behind a dumpster going, "Psst, hey man, you want some tagalongs?"
Where they open up where they open up the trench coat and they've just got the cookie.
Ooh, I don't want to. But see, then I picture that, and I'm like, do I want to be the guy who's plucking boxes off a young girl?
Now it's weird.
No.
Now it's getting weird.
Now it's taking a weird turn.
Yeah.
So, it's hard. Say they have cookie share programs. They have gift of caring. It allows people to buy cookies. I mean, that's how we used to do it toward the end when we lived in California and Molly was a Girl Scout. We would... So she'd call all our relatives back in the Midwest And they'd say, yeah, we just sell them to, give them to the, donate them to the troops.
Yeah.
And that was a cool program. I don't, I'm sure the troops got all the cookies.
Sure.
But I don't know how well Thin Mints travel in the desert.
I don't know either, but I, you know, I'm sure that I would take a chance if I was in the desert.
I would,
definitely take a chance, and I'd be like, you know, if you want to pay for them to be shipped over here, yeah, absolutely. But I think it's interesting that hundreds of thousands of boxes actually of cookies get donated nationwide. I never anticipated in a bazillion years that getting rid of all of the Girl Scout cookies would be hard, because I just love a good Girl Scout cookie.
Yeah.
So in my mind, there is absolutely none left at the end of cookie selling season. Did you ever come into a time where like this with Molly as she was selling cookies where you were like,
no,
oh my God,
there
we
was
have so
a
many
hard
boxes.
Deadline.
Okay.
No, because they don't, they like the troop may have or the region may have, but you only got delivered what you sold.
Yeah.
So on pickup day, we would just show up and load all
sure.
these cases into the car. And the first few years we were dumb and we actually had to then pay to ship all the cookies back to the, yeah, that, man, that was a lost leader. And then, horrible, bad business decision. And Molly loved being the biggest seller. So,
ooh, she was ambitious. I like it.
She was, but she wasn't bankrolling the shipping. So that's when they started this donate to the troops thing, I was like, thank God, it's a win-win. The troops get cookies,
yeah.
and I don't have to ship hundreds of boxes back to the Midwest.
Yes. Now, I also think that this is fascinating that the companies that make Girl Scout cookies have plans to handle leftover inventory as well, which may also include donations. And by the way, if cookies don't get sold, if they aren't donated, troops sometimes keep them, they use them in recipes, or they can just take them home as well. I have a lot of friends
Ooh.
Right now with daughters who are in that last push. Our former piano teacher, I just saw a picture of her eldest on social media the other night with big boxes of cookies. There were about four towers, five deep of cookies. And she's like, come take them because this is what we have left. We want to get rid of these. I've seen plenty of people that I know going that route right now doing the social media. Please come take all of the cookies from us.
I wish I say I wish I did. I'm glad I don't see somebody just going, hey, free, three cases of peanut butter sandwiches, because I would be at their house.
Right.
And then they'd be gone before I get home, and I'd just be on the side of the road in a peanut butter cookie coma.
Well, there are worse things that can happen in life, right?
I guess.
I don't know. I'm down for a Girl Scout cookie. We've got Alicia over on our social medias this morning saying, in 2005, the best cookies any of us could get on the boat were the Chewy Chips Ahoy. Of course, she is a Navy veteran, so she would probably know better than anyone. 6:59 right now. You are listening to Daybreak. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. When we come back, we're going to check in on the Middle East, give you some headlines there, and then it's time for Blank You Need to Know. So a lot to get to. You are listening to Daybreak, and this is Pacific News.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.